Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and please go to Psalm 23, Psalm number 23. In your handout at the very top, it says, fear is a terrible emotion. Fear can literally paralyze you. 1 John 4:18 declares, fear hath torment. Fear, 1 John 4 says, fear hath torment. You know, I was thinking about last Friday night, when I told you last Sunday that my son had a go-kart accident at the go-kart track, and I was going around the track, and when I was going around in my go-kart, I looked back to see my 10-year-old son like this in one of the worker's arms being carried off the track. And my heart just sunk. And I came, and when I got there, blood was pouring out. He gashed over here beside his eye. And the first thought that hit me was, Denise isn't here. And then the second thought that hit me is, she's going to kill me for letting this happen. Fear gripped my heart when I thought of that little 5-foot woman finding out about this. And do I call her? Do I not call her? I call her. You know, but boy, I tell you, fear is really something. People have all kinds of fears, don't they? Some people have financial fears. Some people have health fears. Some people have fears regarding relationships. Some people fear death. Some people fear living. Some people fear losing their job. Some people fear having to stay at their job forever. And you know, the reality is this. Christians are not exempt from any of those things. Christians have health problems. Christians lose their jobs. Christians have relationship problems. Christians have financial reversals and financial catastrophes. But here's the difference. Here's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A person who knows the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, does not have to be overcome with fear when we're walking through any of those valleys of life. Here in Psalm 23, David pictures himself as a sheep who has the Lord as his shepherd. And he said in verse 1, say it with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then in verse 2, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You notice how David is kind of just boasting of the fact the Lord's my shepherd, and here's what it means. Here's all the benefits I have. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. We looked at that last week about the cast sheep. He leadeth me beside the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And verse 4, the psalm's going to take a shift. There's a difference in verse 4 between the other three verses. Do you know what it is? David is going to begin to address the shepherd in a personal way. He's going to actually not just talk about the shepherd. Verse 4, he's going to start talking to the shepherd. Look at verse 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now look at this. Now he begins to address the good shepherd. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, that phrase, the shadow of death, is an interesting phrase. And that this isn't the only time in the Bible that it's used. It's used in the Old Testament. It's used in the New Testament. And when you study out that phrase, the shadow of death, here's what you're going to find. In every instance that phrase is used, in your handout, it says, whenever you see the phrase, the shadow of death, it speaks of darkness, it says in your handout. It speaks of darkness and oppression. So David is speaking as if he is a sheep and he's going through this deep, dark, oppressive valley where there seems to be no ray of light, and you literally feel like you're not going to make it. There just seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. I wonder, have you ever been in a valley like that? You ever been in a valley where there just doesn't seem to be any ray of light or hope? But then I want you to notice what he says. Right after he talks about being in that valley of the shadow of death, what's the very next phrase? Say it with me. I will fear no evil. Say that again. I will fear no evil. Hey, why isn't he going to fear the evil that's around him? Look at the next phrase. Say it with me. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. I want you to notice something. In this psalm, the sheep doesn't die in the valley. Now, we think in our minds, the valley of the shadow of death, we think that's talking about when a person dies. Because we've heard it so much at funerals. We hear Psalm 23 all the time. And so we're thinking the valley of the shadow of death. Oh yeah, God will lead me through death and everything will be okay. But that is not what this psalm is talking about. Notice the good shepherd leads and navigates the sheep through the dark valley. Look at verse 4 again. He did not say, yea, though I die in the valley of the shadow of death, did he? He didn't say that. What'd the verse say? It said, yea, though I what? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the idea is I have this oppressive dark valley that I'm in. And I mean, it seems like I'm not going to make it. The shadow of death is lingering over me. But I can get through this valley because, Lord, you're with me. And you'll lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. So what does that tell us in a practical way? Just simply means this, Christian. The valleys of life need not be dead-end streets. The valleys of life don't have to be dead-end streets for you. You don't have to fear the valleys of life. The disappointments and the frustrations and the discouragements and the dilemmas of life, though they be shadowed valleys, they need not be disasters. In fact, guess what? They can actually be the road to higher ground in your walk with Jesus Christ. If you belong to the Good Shepherd, you can walk victoriously through the deepest, darkest valleys of life. You say, why, Pastor Dan? Why can I walk through them victoriously? Well, what did the psalm say? For thou art with me. You see, if you're a believer today, God is with you in two very real ways. And they're tied to that phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's with you in two very real ways with that rod and staff. Number one, he is with you because you possess the rod of God's word. Now, the rod was a vital part of the shepherd's instruments and equipment. In fact, if you were a shepherd in Bible days, you really had two instruments. You had a rod and a staff. Now, I'm going to bring up a picture here, which is not, it's going to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. The one on the left would be a rod. What it was is the young shepherd boy would go out, he'd find him a sapling, and he'd cut out part of the root of that tree, and then he would carve and shape this stick, which would be the shepherd's rod. And he would mold that thing to where it would fit in his hand just right. And shepherd boys would actually learn, they would practice for hours with this rod, this stick. And they would learn how to wield and how to take that stick. And they could, boom, they could throw that thing with amazing speed and amazing accuracy. In fact, shepherd boys would take it and they would have contests to see who could throw it the furthest and the most accurately. The rod was the main weapon of defense that the shepherd had against enemies for himself and for his sheep. Hey, how many of you remember what was Moses before he became the great leader of the nation of Israel? What was Moses? What was his occupation? He was a shepherd for 40 years, remember? He was a shepherd, and does anybody remember that when Moses had to go to the leaders of Israel and say, hey, I'm the guy, and God wants to do a work, and he wants to lead you out of the bondage of Egypt, and Moses didn't want to go. He said, God, I can't do this. You remember what he had in his hand? What did he have? He had what? Had that rod, that shepherd's rod. You remember what God said? God said, you take that rod, you throw it down. And when he threw it down, what did it become? A snake picked it up and it became a rod. He said, you go and you do that before those leaders. And that will be the equivalent of thus saith the Lord. Remember, there was no written word at that time. The Bible hadn't been written at all yet. There was no written word. He said, you take that rod. That'll be thus saith the Lord. When you go before Pharaoh and you say, let my people go, and this is the revealed will and mind of God that you let my people go, you take that rod. And you take that rod and you perform the miracles that I've told you to perform before Pharaoh with that rod. And so the rod in your handout, it says the rod symbolized the spoken word and the revealed will of God. It carried the impact of thus saith the Lord. And that's why it's interesting that at first it's called Moses' rod. In Exodus 4:20, it's called the rod of God. You see, now it was God's rod. Now it carried the impact of thus saith the Lord. It was God's rod. It was God's word. Now today, the scriptures, we hold in our hand the completed word of God. And today, this right here, this is God's rod. In your handout, it says that they are the extension of God's mind and will to man. Just like Moses' rod, God's words are powerful, they're potent, and they're convicting. You know, in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible is likened to a sharp sword. How many of you remember that verse where it says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. How many of you remember this one? Turn your hand out over. Jeremiah 23:29. It says this, is not my word like as a what, church? Fire, saith the Lord. And he said his word was also like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. How many of you remember this one? Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a what unto my feet? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto... The Bible's likened to a hammer, a fire, a sword, a light, a lamp. It's likened to a complete diet of food. It's likened to bread, meat, milk, water. So what am I trying to say? You know what? Here's the point. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but this world out there, outside these four walls, the world can get mighty confusing and chaotic. Well, there's a lot of voices out there. A lot of voices out there telling you what to do, how to think, how to act, how to dress, how to do this, how to do that. A lot of voices out there talking to teenagers. A lot of voices out there talking to single adults and young marrieds and senior citizens. And there's a lot of voices out there talking. You got voices whispering in your ear, friends at work, friends at college, friends at high school, friends at junior high telling you how you ought to think and how you ought to act. You got the voice of the TV and the web and the voice of magazines and Hollywood. And you got, here you're trying to get through life and life gets chaotic, it gets confusing. And then to add to the confusion, you got all these voices trying to tell you what to think and how to act and what your attitude should be. As you go through the ups and downs of life, you know what? You better have something sure and steadfast and reliable that you can count on. You better have a place where you can go, where you can get absolute truth on which to base your decisions and your attitudes about the circumstances of life. And that reliable place to go is the rod of God's Word. And what a comfort to know that I have an authoritative, clear-cut, powerful instrument by which to conduct myself through the valleys of life. I have the rod of God's Word. I want you to go to Psalm 119. Keep your bookmarker here. We'll go right back to Psalm 23. But go to Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. And almost every verse in this chapter talks about God's Word. It calls it His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, different names. But almost every verse in 176 verses, longest chapter, 176 verses, almost every verse talks about the Word of God. And if you look at Psalm 119, verse 49, look what the Bible says. Psalm 119, 49. Remember the word, he tells God, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou, God, hast caused me to what? Look up here. This is your source of hope right here. Satan wants to get you away from this book. He doesn't want you in church. He doesn't want you reading it. He doesn't want you studying it. He doesn't want you going to the website and downloading messages and learning it. Satan doesn't. He wants to separate you from this book because this is what will cause you to hope when you're going through the dark valleys of life. Look at the next verse, verse 50. He said, this is my what? Comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Look down at verse 54, please. It says, thy statutes, that's God's word, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Look at verse 92, please. Turn over to verse 92. Verse 92. Unless thy law, that's God's word, had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. He says, I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for your word. Look at verse 107. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Look at verse 110. 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. That's God's word. Thy testimonies, that's God's word, have I taken as an heritage forever. For they are the, say it with me, rejoicing of my heart. That's good right there. That's good. When Jesus was led into the wilderness and he went through a deep, dark valley, 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and prayed. Does anybody remember who came to him and tempted him in the wilderness? Satan. When he came and he tempted Christ, what was the weapon that Christ used against Satan? He said, it is written. He used the word of God. That's the rod of God's word, see? He used the rod of God's word. In fact, you remember what he said? It is written, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you're going through the dark valleys of life, and boy, they will come. And darkness seems to be surrounding you. What a comfort to know that I have the light of God's word, and in it is divine power. When going through the dark valleys in this life, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God is with me through his written word. In this book, I possess the mind, the wisdom, and the power of God. Let me say that again. In this book, I have the mind, the wisdom, and the power of God. The rod of God's word. Thy rod, but he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want you to notice that God is also with you, number two, because you possess the staff of God's Spirit. Now, when you think about a shepherd, most people think of the shepherd's staff. In fact, if you look at the picture at the top of your handout, if we can go to the top of your handout there, look, flip it over. Look at the top of your handout. If we could go back one screen, Glenda, please go back. I don't want to go to that yet. Yeah, look at the top of your handout. You can also see it up here on the screen. We downloaded this little heading here. We got this from the web and tweaked it, you know, to fit our needs. And that image, what's the shepherd got? He got a staff. Yeah. When you think of a shepherd, you tend to always think of the staff with the crook there on the end. In fact, did you know that the staff is shaped and designed explicitly for the needs of the sheep? The staff is built and made for the care and management of sheep. That's what it's for. It's for their benefit. In your handout, it says that no other single word can better describe its function on behalf of the flock than it is for their comfort. That's straight from the words of a shepherd who actually shepherded sheep. He said, the staff is there for the sheep's comfort. I want you to go back to Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23 and verse number 4. Let's flip back now to our text. Psalm 23. And it's interesting that shepherd made the comment that the staff is really there for the comfort of the sheep. Because what does the verse say? Look at the end of verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, what did the psalmist say? Comfort me. Now, if you go back to that picture, if you would, Glenda, and notice that you got the rod over there on the left, and then you got a couple of staffs there. And so it's got this hook, you know, on the end. The shepherd would use the staff for the comfort and for guiding the sheep. Now, the rod he would use more for disciplining the sheep. The staff he would use more for the comfort of the sheep. Now, question for you. It's in your handout. Who in the Bible is identified as our comforter, Christian? Does anybody know? Write that in. The Holy Spirit. Let's bring that up on the screen. The Bible identifies our comforter as the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. I want you to look with me at what Jesus said on the screen. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So Jesus Christ calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Christ said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to guide you into all truth. I want you to show you another passage here, if we could go to it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, Jesus said, he will guide you. What's he going to guide you into? When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, what's he going to guide us into? Into what? All truth. It says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. It says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, the moment that a person trusts Jesus Christ to be their Savior, the Apostle Paul taught that immediately the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, comes and takes up residence in the heart of the believer. If you look at the screen again, Ephesians 1:13 says, in Christ you trusted. Okay, so you trusted Christ. After that, you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Now look at this. In whom also after that you believed. The moment that you believed on Christ, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me the moment that I trust Christ. Romans 8:9 calls him the Spirit of Christ. That's why Paul could say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because you have the Spirit of Christ. And in your handout, it says the staff of God's Spirit takes the rod of God's Word and makes it real to our hearts and minds. The Holy Spirit gives me spiritual understanding. The Holy Spirit inside of me is what makes the life of Christ real and intimate and personal to me. No matter what trial I face, no matter what valley I go through, God's Spirit is within me. And he brings to mind the fact that I belong to Jesus Christ and that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Holy Spirit brings that to my heart. He brings it to remembrance and he comforts me. Isn't that good? Look at the screen. I'll show you a great passage here. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Paul said, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our what? In our hearts. As I yield myself to the Holy Spirit within me, and then as I pick up God's Word and I begin to read it, do you know what happens? The Holy Spirit within me makes this book real. He makes it alive. He makes it vibrant in my heart and thereby brings comfort and he brings assurance to me. In your handout, it says, as I walk through the dark valleys, he calms me down and he brings peace. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he calms me down and he brings peace. It's interesting that I was reading where sometimes what happens is a sheep will go along like this. By the way, I'm not going to get down like I did last week, okay? But a sheep will be going along, and I'm going to come behind you here, Brother Steve. You're fine. You can, and he'll come behind and say this is like a bramble bush with thorns, okay? the sheep will come and he'll do, he'll see a good mouth watery mouthful of grass under there. And it's so beautiful looking, and so he'll push back in that bush to try to get that mouthful of grass. And when he pushes under that bramble bush, what do you think happens to him? He's got wool. So the thorns do what? They hook that wool and he can't get out. He gets entangled in the bush. And so what happens is the shepherd misses one of his sheep. And the shepherd goes looking for him. And the shepherd sees the sheep over here caught under this bush. And he's entangled and he can't get out. So the shepherd takes his staff and he begins to work away because he can't get back under there with him. So he's trying to work away with that staff. And he keeps working with the staff and the sheep until he looses the sheep from that entanglement. And the sheep then can go on its way. Many times when we're going through a dark valley, we'll make decisions that aren't good for us. Have you ever made dumb decisions? You ever just done stupid stuff? Well, I have. And sometimes when we're in valleys, we make bad decisions and we do stupid things and we make dumb decisions that are going to do nothing but hurt us and send us deeper into the valley. I'm glad to know you do dumb stuff too. And when we do that, you know, have you ever gotten entangled in the affairs of life? Can y'all associate with that analogy? You ever feel like the sheep in the bramble bush? You ever feel like a sheep that's gotten himself entangled because of just bad choices you've made? You've done things that are contrary to God's will. Can I share something neat with you? That's when God's Holy Spirit comes. If we allow Him to, He'll take God's Word and He'll bring conviction to our heart. And He'll say, no, no, child, no. This is the way. Walk this way. Let me set you free from this entanglement. This is the way you need to go. And you know what's interesting is that you know what I heard a shepherd say one time? I'm talking about now a literal shepherd, a literal sheep. He said, you know how you get to the richest fields up on the mountain? You get there by going through the valleys. You lead the sheep through the valleys in order to get up to the richest fields of the mountains. There's a lot of reasons for that. In the valley is where all the water is, and the good water and the spring water and the nice plentiful grass. But you got to go through the valley to get up to the richest fields up on the mountain. And as I said earlier, Christians are not exempt from the trials of life. Yea, though I walk through. He didn't die in the valley, but he sure was in it. And he said, I'm walking through this valley, and it's like the shadow of death is hovering around me and wants to enclose me. What a wonderful thing, though, to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And God's given me the rod of His Word, and He's given me the staff of His Spirit. And as I walk through the valley, I can boldly say, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Say it with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. In your handout, it says, as our shepherd, Jesus Christ has made provision for our every need when walking through the valleys of life. And can I say this before you put your notes up? Can I say this to you and can I have your attention? Even when a believer has to walk through the valley of death, not just the shadow of death, when a believer has to actually go through the valley of death, can I say something to you? If you fear death today, okay, there is one way to overcome that fear, and that's to come to Jesus Christ. receive Him as your personal Savior. Because the moment you receive Christ, you know what Jesus said? He that believeth on Me shall never die. And when a believer goes through the valley of death, it's nothing to be feared. You say, why? Because Jesus has taken the sting out of death. And death is not a period at the end of the sentence for the Christian. It's simply a comma that leads us to eternal life. And when we walk through the valley of death, and when we come out on the other side, heaven is our eternal home. We have the rod of His Word, the staff of His Holy Spirit, to take that Word and make it real and intimate and personal to us. And so when we go through the valleys of life, man, I tell you what, there's no reason to fear. God's with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.